I want you guys all to know and to be encouraged that even in spite of all the mourning and the grief and the loss, I saw something very beautiful this week. I saw grief handled in the best way I have ever seen it. Friday night as we were at the hospital by Miss Jean's side. I saw laughing. I saw crying. I saw love. I saw hugs. I saw kisses. I saw a family coming together, united by their matriarch. But more importantly, united by the love of Jesus that she had shared with each and every one of them. And it was honestly, the laughter and the tears and the love for one another was one of the most beautiful things and one of the deepest expressions I have seen of the love of Christ overflowing in those who follow him. And I want you guys to know I was encouraged this week. Our God is so amazing. And our God is so big. Our God is the God who has conquered death. And in this time of grieving, we know that death has not had the final word with Miss Jean. Jesus has. Let's take a moment to pray and we will dive into our study this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you are our God, that you love us so much, that you care for us, that you are in authority over us, and that you love us more than we could possibly imagine. Lord, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross in our place. And Lord, as we worship you and study your word this morning, make us more in his image. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you who don't know, we normally, because we love the scriptures, we normally go through books of the Bible verse by verse. That's one of my passions. One of the things that I realized and that God laid on my heart for this current series that we are doing is that, yes, we need to go through verse by verse, but also there are some areas and some scriptures that we have a tendency to misuse and ignore. So that's why we are looking at more of, instead of going through verse by verse, we are taking different subjects and different passages that we have a tendency to look at, say they mean something different than they actually mean, or that we just plain don't pay attention to. When we get to those, we say, oh, I don't understand that, and just skip over it instead of trying to understand the heart of God. And so what we're doing is we are looking at different subjects and we're taking scriptures from here, there, and everywhere inside the Bible. And we're trying to come to a fuller understanding of different things. So today we will be looking at equality and authority. These are two things that often the way that we respond to them has a tendency to be to go one way or to go the other way. We have a tendency either to talk about authority and understanding authority structures and recognizing that there's authority, and we have a tendency to go that way, or we have a tendency to go over here, and where our particular church has a tendency to go, where we have a tendency to go as a people, is we have a tendency to look at the equality side of things and ignore the side of authority. And so there are these two ideas and these two understandings that are held in tension. So we're going to look at a bunch of scriptures. If we were to look at all of the scriptures pertaining to these two issues, we would be here till at least next Sunday at noon. But I have hopes, high hopes, to get you guys out of here at least by 1 o'clock. So we're going to try to do that. So if you would turn with me in your pew Bibles, it will also be up on the screen, but these pew Bibles, to Galatians 3:28, it is on page 632. That's page 632. Galatians 3:28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We have a tendency to see this passage, to look at this passage, and we say, all right, Jesus came to obliterate the differences. Well, not quite. Jesus is the one who made the differences. What we're seeing here is that God has made all of us with equal dignity, value, and worth. Each and every one of you in this room is made in the image of God. When I see you, I see God. I'm not saying you are a God, but I see the fact that God has made you in His image. And when I see you, even though there's sin in your life and sin in my life, when we look at each other, we are able to see a reflection of who God is. And based on that, each of us are equal in dignity, value, and worth. One of the things when we see this and when we cling to this idea of equality is we have a tendency sometimes to ignore the fact that equal does not mean same. God did not send His Son Jesus to obliterate the differences. He did not send Jesus to say, all right, everything is going to be the same. You guys all need to look like cookie cutters. Ever go into one of those subdivision neighborhoods where all the houses look alike? And you're like, man, how can people tell the houses apart? God does not want people to come into our church and it be like one of those subdivisions and look around at all of the Christians and say, man, they all look alike. No. He wants us to be united in Jesus, that we are a collective group, united, all following Jesus with everything we have, and that we have equal dignity, value, and worth. And there are different roles. Equal does not mean same. These same scriptures that show this equality also show in that said that there is no male or female, then turn around and in Colossians 3:18 says, "Wives, submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord." A husband and a wife are equal in dignity, value, and worth. And they are both called to submit to each other, but that submission looks different. And husbands, you are called to love your wife like Christ loves the church. There is no tougher calling in the world. Because think of how bad we are. And Jesus still loves us so much that He gave up everything. Men, you are called to give up everything for your wives. Everything. And so what I want you to see is, yes, men and women are equal in dignity, value, and worth, and yet there are differences. Parents and children. Let's go with one that's going to be easier for some of you to stomach. Some of you may not like the fact of talking about men and women being different and that God has provided an authority structure. So let's go to one that makes sense to everybody. Children, obey your parents. Think about that. Are children any less an image bearer of God than their parents? No, not a chance. They are still made in the image of God. And in fact, Jesus says that unless you come to him like a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So there are aspects that little children have a pure reflection of who God is and how much he loves. Yet still, there is to be submission. There is to be an understanding of authority where children respect their parents, their father and their mother, and they listen to them and they obey. We continue this on asking ourselves. It talks about there is neither slave nor free. Let's look at Ephesians 6:5. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Now, this is not saying slavery is a good thing. What God does here is he looks at the situation and the way that there is authority in the world, and he says that to respect me, to love me, you also need to be one who respects and loves those whom I have placed in authority over you. So, here's where it's going to get harder for some of you. Obey your bosses with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Now, I'm not saying do anything illegal. I'm not saying do anything immoral. What I'm saying is as you would Christ. So if they're veering off from Christ, you stick close to them. But are you willing to respect your bosses? When your boss comes up with an idea that just sounds idiotic to you, do you mock him and make fun of him behind his back? Are you willing to respect and honor authority that is in your life? If we're going to continue looking at the idea of slavery, we will look at the book of Philemon. This is a letter to Philemon about Onesimus, a runaway slave who has met Paul and fell in love with Jesus and has grown as a Christian. And even though Paul had the authority where he could say, let Onesimus free, what he did is he calls out to Philemon and says, you know what, here I am sending you my love with our brother Philemon, or with our brother Onesimus. And so what he does is he sends this brother in Christ back to his slave owner that he had run away from. So yes, he sends Onesimus back to his master, Philemon. But in verses 15 through 16a, it says, for perhaps this is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother. This would have not been thought of or heard of in the culture. Think about the idea of slavery, to own someone or to have free labor from someone for the rest of their life. And what Paul is saying here is welcome him back as a brother. This is the purpose of God. This is why he possibly ran away, is so that God could get a hold of him, share with him the good news of Jesus, and that you would be united again, but in a different way. And so we see here that there is authority. Sometimes we look so at the equality that Jesus provides that we forget to recognize distinctions. We forget that we are called to pray for and respect those who are in government, in leadership above us. That they are ministers of God is the language that our scripture says. And I know if you're like me, you've had those times where you've gotten in a little bit of a funk and you were making fun of one of our presidents, or you're upset and don't like the way that things are going on, and so you decide, you know what, I'm going to be disrespectful. That's not what Jesus has called us to. He's called us to respect authority, at least to respect the seat of authority that that person holds, even if we don't respect the lifestyle of that person. I'm telling you, whether you really disliked Bush or you really dislike Obama, Caesar was far worse than either of them. And that's what we see in Scripture when we're seeing them being told to obey, being told to pray for, being told to respect. Some of us need to stop being Democrats or stop being Republicans and start being Christians who are followers of Jesus who respect authority. This even extends into the church. 1 Peter 5:2, where Peter is talking to the elders. He says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly." What we see here is that in the church, God places leaders. Now, I've got in there that it's to the elders. Did you know that the word pastor in the scriptures is only used as a noun one time? And so what we see is, though we have used the word pastor for so long in our culture, what it is synonymous with is elder or preaching elder. And so what we see is that there is a command not just for you to listen to your elders, to your leaders in the church, but we see that they are called to submit to God and to submit to you. As I pastor this church, what I am told to do here is, yes, to exercise oversight, but not under compulsion. I'm not called to be some hireling, as Scripture talks about. I'm called to be a shepherd who is willing to lay down my life for you, and not under compulsion. It's not that I'm being forced to do this. It's not that I've got to do it to make a paycheck. It's because I love you. And it's because God has called me to raise you up as leaders in his kingdom, as all of you are equal in dignity, value, and worth, that it is my opportunity and my responsibility to lead you and to call you to more. Verse 3 says, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. I'm not to rule you with an iron fist. The leaders in churches are not to rule with an iron fist, but instead we're to come alongside you and lovingly call you to more. And so as I submit to you, what I am promising to do is I am promising to work my best to submit myself to Jesus and to submit myself to you, that I will care for you in a loving way, that as I am leading you, that your needs will come above mine. And also that pleasing God will come above pleasing you. Hebrews 13:17, this is one I have never heard. I have heard this preached a couple of times, but never in a church like ours. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Is it an advantage to any of you to have your pastor being like, oh man, I gotta take care of them, and I gotta do this, and I gotta do that, and wah, wah, wah? It's, oh no, this person's calling again. That's not helpful for you. It's kind of like what he's saying is, don't be that kid who goes up to his parents and says, mom, mom, mommy, mom, mom, come on please. I want this, I want this. And then throws a fit in the grocery aisle, and the parents just like, I just want to walk away and leave this kid here. Don't treat your pastor like that. Instead, be willing to follow, be willing to grow, be willing to listen. And what I want you to see is that this is not just because of what you will be told on Judgment Day. It's also for what I will be told on Judgment Day. Because on Judgment Day, I will have to give an account for the way I shepherd each and every one of you, whether it was for this one time where I was able to be in your life, or whether it is for the next 50 years. When I stand before Jesus, I will have to give an account of how I led you. I want you to know that this is not something I take lightly. This is something that breaks my heart over and over and over again. When I see some of you at different times walking away from Jesus, it breaks my heart because I love you. I want to see you following Jesus. And sometimes it makes me wonder, what could I have done differently? What should I have done differently? How could I have led differently? What will Jesus say? You know what? You really screwed that up. And I love you guys. I'm not here for the shameful gain. I'm not here for the prestige and the glory. I'm here because God's called me here and I love you guys. And this subject is the subject of authority is one that I like to talk over a lot with pastors, but I don't like to preach a lot. And the reason I like to preach this even less than I like to preach on tithing and giving. I mean, that's how much I dislike this. And you guys know how much I dislike talking about giving and tithing. What I want you to know is that if I would ignore this truth from Scripture that we are all equal, yet there is also authority within our families, within our church, within our culture, that if I were to ignore that and just say it's only you and Jesus and you aren't accountable to anyone, then right there, as one who will have to give an account, God would hold me responsible at the end of time, saying, you failed them. I don't like talking about this. I like making jokes about it. Every once in a while, I like whining and complaining about it to my wife. I want you to turn with me to page 622 in your pew Bibles, 1 Corinthians 11:1. It's a very short verse. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. As you follow me, as you look to me, I don't want blind obedience. I don't want blind following. I want you guys to be the kind of people that see if I am veering off from Jesus, that you veer towards him. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. If I'm not imitating Christ, then don't imitate me. Don't imitate any leader that is not imitating Christ. If we have this tendency to put people up on these pedestals and we follow them and we follow them and we follow them and we lose sight of Jesus. Never get so attached to a leader that you lose sight of Jesus. Only follow a leader as far as they are following Jesus. Know your Bibles. Know Jesus enough to know when someone is not following Jesus, when someone's full of it. I want you guys to know Jesus so well. Jesus says that he is the good shepherd and that his sheep recognize his voice. Do you know Jesus well enough to recognize his voice when he's speaking into your life? Whether it's through that still small voice or whether it's a leader in your life who says, you know what, you need to move on, you need to do this. Do you know his voice well enough to recognize what's from him and what's not? I know I've gone through seasons where I have not spent the kind of time with Jesus that I should have. And it has taken serious getting back in prayer and Bible study before I was able to decipher, is this Jesus speaking to me or is this something else? I want you to only imitate someone if they are imitating Jesus. We as a church exist to follow Jesus and love people. If we aren't doing that, if I stop doing that, don't follow me. Don't follow anyone who doesn't follow Jesus and love people. Don't do it. Our God is so amazing and he loves you so much and he does call us to be under authority. And sometimes he calls us to be in authority. Are you in authority today? As a parent, as a husband, as a school teacher, as a Sunday school teacher, as a whatever, when they see you, are they seeing Jesus? When they see what a good Christian is supposed to be like, do they see Jesus or do they see a religious person who just tries to follow all the rules? Or do they see somebody who talks one talk at church and lives another life outside? This is my heart. I want you guys to become followers of Jesus. Not just people who profess that you know he died on the cross for you. I want you to be imitators. You were made in the image of God. You have equal dignity, value, and worth with everyone. And the more you follow Jesus, the more he's going to remake you to restore that image he originally created you for. Philippians 2, 6 through 8 on page 636 says, speaking of Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I want you to see that Jesus is equal with God in dignity, value, and worth. But he humbled himself. He submitted to the authority structure within the Trinity, within the Godhead. And he said, Father, I will follow you no matter what. And to become like Jesus, we need to be willing to accept authority that is placed over us by God, just as Jesus did. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God remaking you so you look more like his son. So what are you going to do about it? Are you in some type of authority? What are some ways? I want you to spend some time today thinking about this. What are some ways that you are not leading like Jesus leads? What are some ways that if people followed you, they would not be following Jesus? And as you find those, it's time to repent, turn away from that, and turn towards Jesus and say, I will follow Jesus, and I will lead others like Jesus led. Some of us, myself included, don't like being under others' authority. We take this Jesus and me only, I only have to respond to Jesus. And we need to say, all right, I will submit to someone else's authority. Many of you know I went down to Chattanooga a couple weeks ago with our director of missions and several other pastors for a training conference. And it was a great time. About 15 minutes into the thing, I told our director of missions, you're the closest thing I have to a spiritual boss. He was a little wigged out by that statement, but if you're not in and under godly authority, then you're not following Jesus appropriately. Find someone that you can place yourself under their authority and that you trust will follow Jesus and that you can follow them as they follow him. It's all about being like Jesus. It's not about my authority. It's not about your authority. It's about God's authority. And if we don't respect human authority, we will not respect divine authority. That's what it comes down to. Will we honor God? Will we become like Jesus? It's your choice. What are you going to do? The reason for doing this isn't so that we can be a good person. The reason for doing this is because Jesus loves us so much that he died on the cross for you, for me. And it's out of gratitude, it's out of love, it's out of response to who he is and what he has done that we submit ourselves to authority. What I want you to see is when you submit yourself to authority, you are worshiping God in as big of a way as the best worship, praise him, whatever song that you have sung in your life. It is a worship experience when we submit to authority, when we say, I'm not just under my own authority, but I'm under God's. It's all because he loves us. Let's pray. I've taken up far more of your time than I normally do. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that we can trust you as you are in authority over us. Lord, thank you that I am not the chief shepherd, but an under shepherd. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our senior pastor, our chief shepherd. And Lord, help us to follow you. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to become a greater imitator of you so that as those you have given to me to shepherd look at me, they see you and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.